Hi, River Runners, and all of our guests who are joining us online. Today, we're continuing on in our series called Summer on the Mount. We're on our fourth week, where we are looking at the most influential message that's ever been given in human history by Jesus Christ some 2,000 years ago. It is still widely read, still widely memorized, quoted, and thought about and written about to this day. And so we're just decided that during this summer, we just want to take some space from all the noise out there in the media, social media that's going on in our own minds, just to listen to Jesus himself, to have him kind of speak into our hearts and into our minds in a very focused way in order for us to feel comfort, also to challenge us, and also to help us to grow and to learn in, as we progress in our relationship with him and with one another. So we're about one-third through this message that Jesus gave, and it's important as before we kind of dive into it, we're going to start in Matthew chapter 6. But before we get there, it's so important for us to remember kind of where Jesus has brought us to as far as just this message. And if you remember, right out of the gate, Jesus says these words in Matthew chapter 5, verse 3. So these are the first words. This is very important for us to listen to when he says this. He says, God blesses those who are poor and realize their need for him, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. In other words, what he's kind of saying is not just people who are poor in the pocket, but also what he's really talking about is impoverished when it comes spiritually. Blessed are those who recognize their need for him, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. In other words, what Jesus was saying right out of the bat is this: hey, when you recognize your need for me and how spiritually impoverished you are, then the kingdom of heaven is going to become open to you. You're going to begin to understand how God works, why he works the way that he works. And it's going to come from all of that. It's going to come this blessing that God gives over us when we are self-aware. And then he kind of goes on through that first part of his message, just talking about all the different types of people who are blessed, those who are humble, those who are meek, those who mourn over their own junk in their own life and mourn also for the hurts and the pains that are going out in the world, who also through all of that hunger and thirst for what is good and righteous and justice in their own lives and also out into the world as well. And Jesus says, blessed are those who are persecuted, who are people who are peacemakers, who are humble, who are self-aware, but also people who lean into Jesus Christ. And maybe the world may even misunderstand you as you follow Jesus in this. And so through that, Jesus then says, you are the light of the world. In other words, the world needs you. And we talked about what kind of people does the world need. Well, the world needs, you know, people who are self-aware, who are humble, who are meek, who are peacemakers, who thirst and hunger for righteousness and justice, who love Jesus Christ very, very much and align their hearts and lives with his. Those are the type of people that the world needs, that our community needs, that our family needs as well. And then you see, if you go on through Matthew chapter 5, Jesus talks about all these different types of things that basically, if you had any question whatsoever and any doubt that you are spiritually poor, he goes through all of this litany of things to help us to recognize that, yeah, maybe we're not so perfect after all. In fact, he ends chapter 5 by saying, you know, be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect, by which we should probably just kind of go, yikes, you know, we're not even close to being the perfect in the way that we love and we treat other people, in the way that we are selfless, that we tend to have a heart that tends to be bent towards our own self and self-centeredness and for ourselves. And so that should elicit within us this understanding of our need for help, our need for a Savior, which is the whole reason why Jesus came into this world, to save us. And the good news is that when we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, that he does give us eternal life. But it's also important for us to understand, as we read through these words of Jesus, it should remind us too that every single day we should recognize our need for a Savior, our need for him every single day, because every single day we all fight the battle of being self-centered, selfish, prideful, arrogant, greedy, lustful, all of these things that just make us just this, you know, this mixed bag of a people. And so my encouragement to you is to go back and read through all of Jesus's letter or his message here. It's very important. You know, if you haven't done it so already, to go back from the very beginning and read in one sitting all the way from Matthew chapter 5 all the way through Matthew chapter 7. If you've already done it, let me just continue to encourage you to read, to keep reading every single week all the way through that message. Well, you say, well, maybe I don't have enough time to do it, or I'm not much of a reader. Let me also encourage you that you can just take the Bible app, take it and bring it right to Matthew chapter 5, push play and let it read through you. I guarantee you that if you keep doing this as a regular habit through this message series, when we're all done with this by at the end of July, you will have such a better grasp at understanding Jesus, who he is, what he's about, and what the kingdom of heaven is all about as well. So, like I said, we are in Matthew chapter 6. So if you have your Bible or if you have your phone or tablet or whatever with you, turn over to Matthew chapter 6. We're going to read just four verses today. It's nice and short. And then we're going to kind of dive in from there. All right. So Matthew chapter 6, verse 1. Jesus begins. Again, remember, this is all Jesus speaking here. So this is a quote from him. In 6:1, he says, "Watch out. Don't do your good deeds publicly to be admired by others, for you will lose the reward from your Father in heaven. When you give to someone in need, don't do as the hypocrites do, blowing trumpets in the synagogues and streets to call attention to their acts of charity. I tell you the truth, they have received all the reward they will ever get. But when you give to someone in need, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. Give your gifts in private, and your Father, who sees everything, will reward you." So if you weren't with us last night when we gathered together for our Saturday night worship gathering, which was beautiful, by the way, I highly encourage you guys to come and join us on those Saturday evenings. If you weren't there last night, let me ask you a question. Have you ever heard of the name Chuck Feeney? You ever heard that name? Probably not, I would assume. You see, Chuck Feeney at one time was one of the wealthiest Americans, and he was worth billions of dollars. Back in the day where if you just had $1 billion, you would be close to the top of the echelon of one of the wealthiest people in the world. It's worth billions of dollars. Well, he's about 89 years old now, and now he has probably just about enough money to take care of his own medical expenses as an 89-year-old would have, and also just to take care of the other things in this simple living that he lives by today. Doesn't have anywhere near the billions of dollars that he used to have. So what happened to these billions of dollars? Is Chuck Feeney just kind of one of those typical stories that we kind of hear, somebody who had lots of money and lost it in investments or some kind of fraud or went to jail or just spent it all away? No, actually, Chuck Feeney doesn't have his billions of dollars anymore because he gave it all away. In fact, he has given over $8 billion in investing in humanity and the betterment of humanity all around the world. What makes Chuck Feeney's story so unique was that back in 1984 or so, Chuck realized that he was sick and tired of just piling up money. He didn't really care about the money, was never really into the money bit of it, but was making a ton of money. And so he decided that he just wanted to give it all away. And so what he decided to do was to take the 40% that he owned in this business and put it into a philanthropy. In other words, he took all of his assets and moved it over to whatever was part of his into this philanthropy. And so what he did then was he just took a modest salary by which he could live on from year to year. He wore a cheap little Casio watch. He wore just clothes that were unassuming. When he flew on an airplane, he flew coach. And the rest of it, he decided just to give it away. So even the money that the company would earn on his 40% would go straight into this philanthropy every single year, by which he gave billions and billions of dollars away. But here's the thing about Chuck Feeney. When he invested in different things that he believed would help humanity, he did it in such a way that nobody would be able to find out who was the person behind all the money. It was all his philanthropy. In fact, the person who kind of helped him to manage that would go to other places, and when they would ask who's giving this money, he would tell them that he can't tell them, that it's basically a secret. Now, there were times when certain organizations would go, wait a minute, is this mafia money? By which they would reassure them, no, there is no strings attached to this money whatsoever, except that you would spend it on what you agreed to spend it on as far as investing and helping in humanity. And then there were certain times where they would, if they found out who the person was behind all that money, they would have to sign an agreement that if they told anybody or leaked anything out that of who gave this money away, then the money would just stop instantly. The funding would just go, you know, to zero. And so this went on for many, many, many years until 1997, when they decided to sell the company, by which then some financial news kind of broke the news and found out about Chuck Feeney and just his generosity. And so he would never desire to be found out. It was just something that happened. But even when he was found out, he continued to give all his money away in a very secretive, unassuming way just to impact the world. He didn't want buildings to be named after him. He didn't want medals or any kind of awards for the things that he was doing. He just simply wanted to do it out of the giving of his heart to help out humanity. Now, when we hear a story like Chuck Feeney, we are amazed. We think that's extraordinary. It's extraordinary. It is different. It's huge and it's big. It's a big story by which we go, wow, we just never, ever see that ever happening, because what we tend to see in our natural flesh is that people want the glory of their generosity, and we want people to recognize them, to say great things about them, and put names on buildings and all sorts of things that we do that we tend to be what's very normal to us. But that's what Jesus is basically challenging when he says these words that we just looked at. Jesus was basically saying, no. This private giving, this unassuming giving, this giving without any personal glory should be normal. It is what is normal to the kingdom of heaven. It is the way that God himself even works. Jesus worked this way. In fact, a lot of times Jesus said, don't tell anybody about what I'm doing here. And so Jesus basically says that when we live our lives, we should just live our lives in a way that is loving towards other people. But here's the thing that I've kind of recognized, is that there are two types of generosity, right? When we think about it, there are two types of generosity. The first type of generosity is for the love of me or for us. That sometimes there can be this shadow mission, this mixed motives inside of us that I want to give in order for people to glorify me. It's like going out and you helping somebody, you give somebody on the side of the road some money, and then you go home and you tell everybody all the incredible thing that you just did. That inside is like, yeah, maybe I wanted to help that person, but really ultimately what I want is people to know what a great guy that I am. And that's why Jesus says these words right out of the bat. In chapter 6, verse 1, he says this. He says, watch out. So the first thing he says, watch out. Jesus is a mastermind when it comes to understanding the human condition. He knows how our hearts can be bent towards ourselves in a sense of self-centeredness. And so when dealing with generosity, Jesus goes, watch out, okay, because you're going to deal with mixed motives when you are generous and you help other people, okay? He says, watch out. Don't do your good deeds publicly to be admired by others. In other words, don't let that be your motivation. And in other words, you know, when we talked about going back to the very beginning, what Jesus said in this message that he gave, he said, blessed are those who are poor in spirit, who realize their need for him. In other words, he's saying, be self-aware of your own spiritual poverty. And a place of spiritual poverty that we tend to have is a sense of self-centeredness. That's spiritual poverty, that it needs to be about us. We need to have glory. We need to have recognition. In other words, Jesus goes, now watch out, be self-aware that of your desire to want your own personal glory, to be admired by others. And he says, for when you do that, you will lose the reward from your Father in heaven. And so Jesus kind of goes back and soaks this in a little bit further. And he says, and he continues on in verse 2, he says, when you give to someone in need, don't do as the hypocrites do. The word hypocrite comes from the Latin, which is kind of a theater term, which kind of means mask, like they used to use in the ancient world in theaters, right? Where you would have this appearance, this outward appearance of this mask, but there's something different. There's a different appearance underneath that. And so what he's saying is, is don't be like the hypocrites where you have a mask of generosity, that your generosity is just a mask to your own self-glory, all right? That you give to people who are in need and charity for the ultimate desire of people to go, wow, look at you, you're just amazing. I can't believe what you've done. And so he says, don't be like that, by which you have this appearance of being altruistic, but inside, underneath that mask, is really kind of driven, a person who's driven by their own self-centered glory. It says, don't be like the hypocrites do, blowing trumpets in the synagogues and the streets to call attention to their acts of charity. Look at me, look what I do. He says, I tell you the truth, they have received all the reward they will ever get, that their only reward that they will ever get is the admiration of other people, the way to go from other people. Jesus is basically saying to us is this, that when we do that, we're foregoing an even greater blessing and reward. He's saying that, you know, there's something greater than getting the accolades of other human beings, which is true, because a lot of times what we tend to do as people, we tend to clap and say, well, way to go, way to go. And then as human beings, what we tend to do after that is, okay, so what are you going to do for me now? We're fickle people, or we forget, and we maybe applaud for a while and think that's great, and then we just kind of go along in our own distracted ways. Okay, but what I think Jesus is saying here is that there's a far better reward that comes from our Heavenly Father, who recognizes as our dad, you know, when we give something out of the purity of our heart, to be able to hear from our dad to say, you know what, I'm so amazed and proud of the way that you just loved them and you were generous to them just because you cared about them. That is amazing. I love that. Well done, my son, my daughter, when you do that. I believe that there's a beautiful, wonderful, more eternal reward that comes from hearing that from our Father, and the realization that our Father never forgets that you know, act of love when we do that. So here's something that's important though. Like earlier when I said that I think there's two types of generosity. There's the one where it's for the love of me, but also for the love of us. Okay, so sometimes when we get to that place of the love of us, we can get confused even as a church. So as a church, we can sit there and go, hey, look at us. Look how great we are. Look how all the amazing things we do. Hey, world out there, we're amazing. And so sometimes we can do that not just as individuals, but as a group of people, that we draw attention not to our God, not to our amazing Father in Jesus Christ. Sometimes we can say and rationalize that we're doing that. But we got to watch out and check our motives. Are we doing it because we really honor God? Or are we really doing it because we think our church club is pretty awesome because it reflects me? All right? That's why even when we think about it as a church, are we trying to bring people's hearts to us, to bring glory to us? Or are we doing it to God? So we even have to, as a church body, have to continue to wash through those motives because the church doesn't exist to bring glory to itself. You and I together as a group of people, we exist to bring glory to the one who deserves the glory, the one who gives us all good things, the one who loves us, which is our God. Now, I've been thinking about this. So why does God get the glory and we don't? I've been thinking about that a little bit. Well, this is kind of what I think why that may be. And you may have thought of this before as well. I think the reason why we shouldn't bring glory to ourselves is because we can't handle it. When we bring glory to ourselves, it is absolutely self-centered, and it always breaks down. You know, the glory to God, the thing about God is mature, God is good, God is love all the time, and it's not like he needs our glory, that he's needy. He's self-secure and all of that. But when we give glory to him, there's just something within us that makes us more whole, makes us more pure, gives us more inner strength by which we just give it back to him. And ultimately, it's really just for us to recognize who's really due glory. And that is our God, because again, every good thing comes from above. His grace, his love, his eternal life, the relationships that we have, beautiful sunsets, the things that we have of this world are just wonderful, beautiful things that come from him. All right. So there's also the second type here when it comes to generosity. And that is the way that I think what Jesus is getting at, right? Is for the love of God and for the love of other people. That when we give, we're giving it out of a pure heart. Remember earlier on, Jesus says, blessed are those who have, you know, blessed are those who are pure in heart. Why? I think one of the reasons why we are blessed when we have a pure heart is that we have the ability and the opportunity to love without having to be needy. We can just love and just give without this nasty little thing that's in the back of our head. Well, what about me? We just do it in a way that just gives a sense of beauty and freedom within our own heart. And so I think that's why when Jesus says in verse 3, he says, but when you give to someone in need, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. In other words, it should be just completely subconscious. It should just be something that you just do. You don't even recognize that you're really being generous. You're just doing it because you love them. Isn't that what love is? Love is just a, you know, just out of love is just this natural response, this organic response of just going and helping another individual because you care. That it comes from the purity of heart. There's no mixed motives. You just do it. And I think that's kind of true, right? That when you've ever given or just done something really wonderful for another person, just out of the purity of heart, you probably didn't even really think about what's in it for you. You probably didn't even think about yourself. You were too busy thinking about that other individual because you cared so deeply about them. I think that's what Jesus is trying to convey to us, that when we are generous, the purity of heart, the purity of motive doesn't even think about itself. It just thinks about the person that we're giving to there. And so that's why when he says, when you give to someone in need, don't even let your left hand or your right hand know. It's just something that is very natural. And that's why I love the word that he uses here. He doesn't use the word if you give. He says, when you give. When people's hearts are changed with the heart of Jesus Christ, generosity and living a life with open hands to other people is no longer about if, it's about when. You know, if tends to be kind of more of a conditional statement, right? If I give, then I get something back. No, it's not about if, it's about when. And it's about when is more of about a lifestyle of living a life of generosity that is just doing it out of a heart of love. And so he goes on in the next verse, he says, give your gifts, what? In private, okay? In private. It's just about you and the person that you're loving. The person that you are giving to, the person, it may be resources, it may be time, it may be just words of affirmation, of encouragement, but you're just doing it because you care about them. You're not using them in order for your own glory to go and tell other people about great stories about how amazing you are. But that you're doing it because you just simply care about them in private. And he says, and your father, and again, I love these words that Jesus intentionally uses, that your father, that a lot of our generosity to other people is done in communion and community with our father, that we do it with him. And that's part of the wonderful thing about going through life is that we do life with our father. And so when we go out into our community or into our family or wherever we may be, and we're just simply loving other people in private, we're doing it along with our heavenly father because there's a sense of joy of doing life with him. And then your father, who sees everything, will reward you. I've often wondered what it's going to be like when we are all in the presence of God, all of us together, you know, from those of who are the children of God from the very beginning to all the way to now. I wonder what it's going to be like. I wonder if there's going to be like people who are going to be close to him and we're going to be kind of watching and we're going to see all the cool opportunities that God is going to give them for his kingdom for the rest of eternity. I wonder if we're going to see some people there that we don't even know who they are. And maybe we would guess that maybe it's this famous Christian from, you know, history. Maybe it's that famous person from history. But I tend to think that I bet there's going to be a lot of people who are going to have some really special places in the kingdom of God that you and I have never, ever heard of before. Because they just simply live the kingdom of God the way that God wanted them to live. Just the way with the Father. They live their lives privately in love of the people that around them. No matter what country or language or how much money they had in their pocketbook, they just went and they were just faithful in the way that they went and loved other people. That the Father then honored them in an amazing, beautiful way. I think that is seems to be the way of God, that we're going to meet some people that are that throughout history have done just some wonderful, beautiful things in their community and their family and their relationships and the way that they live their life of love with their Heavenly Father, that we're not going to really even know of their story here on earth until we get to heaven and hear about them. And that's the way I think God wants us to operate and work in our lives. In fact, one of the things about what we see in the Christian movement was never about this big noise movement. It was more of just a subtle movement of people's lives who are changed by the love of God, who then begin to permeate that love in a very private, quiet way into their families, into their neighborhoods and their community. And slowly that began to branch all around the world, by which people begin to kind of see these different types of people. To them, the outsider was extraordinary, was incredible, was amazing. And then they asked the question, why do you live that way? By which the answer to that, we live that way because our God changed our heart to go and just love. And so we desire to love no more than just to love as the way that Christ has loved us. That is normal to the kingdom of heaven. And so as we transition now into our time of just worship here, and we're going to sing a song that talks about the goodness of God. Wherever you're at, what I would love for you to do is to either, you know, sing these songs. If God is kind of moving you to sing this song out, sing it, you know, worship him that way. If everything's kind of chaotic and crazy around your living room with little ones everywhere, try to listen to these words or read the words on the screen. And just at this moment, even if there's distractions, just to, you know, lean into God a little bit and be inspired and remember how good he is to you and how much he loves you very much. Because I believe that so much of the organic generosity that Christ is talking about always begins with our recognition of God's amazing love and generosity into our lives. Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, I thank you for the goodness that you have shared into our lives, the grace, your love, the eternal life, the blessings that we've been given this here on this earth, that God, you aren't just clamoring around and yelling at us, what about me, what about me, what about me? You just give to us in so many different ways. Even during all those times, we don't even recognize that or even say anything to you about it. And yet you're still so gracious to us. And so God, we do recognize that. We do recognize your goodness. We do recognize how much you love us. And so Father, as we just kind of sing and meditate and think about this next song, God, we just want to sing your praises about how good you are. And I pray that these praises would just move out from within our lives and out of our lives into a natural, organic way of living generously in a very private, silent way that's just really about other people. It's in your Son's name I pray. Amen.